You would open your Bible this morning to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Give you just a little background. The children of Israel, many years earlier before this book, God had prophesied that they would be carried into Babylon. They did not believe it. Because of their idolatry, of worshiping false gods, of turning away from the true and living God, God did carry them away into Babylon, that godless country of Babylon, for 70 long years. And when Babylon came in, that great temple and all the wall around that temple was utterly destroyed. God used that wicked country to destroy that temple. If you can just picture in your mind the rubbish, the decay and all this that had laid there for over these years. And I just picture it as nature takes its course and weeds and everything begin to grow over this place which used to be a testimony for God. But God remembers His covenants. God remembers His promises. And God begins to bring back His people back to Jerusalem. Under Ezra, Haggai, and others, they begin to come. And then they would be lapses and they would go back here and there. But then God burdens a man's heart named Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in Babylon. He was the king's cupbearer. And he inquired one day, he said, how do the people of Israel fare? And if you would just turn back to the first chapter, and I'll read just a few verses. Verse 2 says, then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left to the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. Oh, he was concerned. Oh, he was burdened over the condition of Israel, the walls of Jerusalem, and mourned certain day and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And God worked out all the circumstances. And God brings Nehemiah back to Jerusalem. God burdened this man's heart for this great work of rebuilding these walls that had been torn down. And that's how God always works. In this book, we always look for the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in this book, but in every book of the Scriptures. Nehemiah is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that does love His church. He is burdened for His church. And he will see that His church is raised up from the heap of rubbish that it's under. He will see to it. It's His work. He has always had a man. He's never been without a man. He's never been without a witness. God Almighty is still on the throne. He still is. Nehemiah chapter 4. But it came to pass, and it always does. When God's determined to do something, it will come to pass.
Amen.
Don't you know they thought for 70 years nothing ever happened? Grow discouraged, grow defeated, it'll never happen. It will come to pass. Will come to pass. When it came to pass, they had already begun work on the wall. They'd already begun to establish this work. That when Sambalat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. Very mad. It took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Does that not sound familiar? And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, Look at these questions he asked. What will do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? In essence, they are asking, will their God do all this? And yes, he will. And I love this last part of this verse. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? When they began to revive these stones, they didn't go out and find new stones. They just revived the stones that were already there, that were buried under all this heap of rubbish that had been there for all these years. They were there before. They were there in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. But now they're just buried under a bunch of rubbish, a bunch of this heap of rubbish. And God will revive them. He will restore them to their original beauty. And their original splendor and their original glory. Now Tobiah, an Amorite, was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. Nehemiah didn't listen to it. He said, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Do you not feel despised? And turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity and cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. Some said this was not praying for vengeance but was praying in a spirit of prophecy. I'll leave somebody else to figure that out. But knowing Nehemiah as being just a man as we are, many times when we see reproach and people despise the gospel of God's grace, we feel just exactly like he felt right there. We might as well just be honest. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. I remember our Lord one day, he took a whip and he drove the money changers out of the temple. I don't think he was laughing about it. I don't think so. Provoke thee to anger before the builders. Now watch this. You would have thought he would have just said, well, let's just quit. Let's just stop building the wall. But the next verse says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Why? For the people had a mind, they had a determination, they had a zeal for God, they had a mind to work. You know what's going on in this chapter? I'm going to read the whole chapter and just try to make a few comments. You know what was happening here? Sambalat, Tobiah, and all the enemies around about Jerusalem, everything was fine. Everything was okay till Nehemiah showed up on the scene. As long as all the rubbish and everything was there, everything was fine. But when God began to rebuild these walls, it made them angry. And they're going to do everything they can to stop it and to hinder that work. That's their objective. This world today hates God as much as it always has. Man's nature has not changed in the least. If anything, it's got worse. They still hate the God of glory. They still hate a sovereign God. They still hate substitution. They still hate those things. And they'll do everything they can one way or another to try to hinder God's word. Verse 7. But when it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. In verse 1 it said they were wroth. Now they're very wroth. In verse 8, and they conspired, plotted, all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. That's their objective. Verse 9, nevertheless. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. God will even use our enemies to get us on our face, to cry out to God. We are no match. You see people on TV, they talk about what they're going to make the devil do and all this. We are no match, but he is.
Amen.
This shows our dependence upon God, our dependence upon God for everything. It's his work. His work. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. Watch and pray. And watch this. And Judah said, that lion tribe, instead of speaking like a lion, he kind of speaks like a little wet pup. Here's what he said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. And there is much rubbish so that we're not able to build the wall. We just can't do it. You see how the enemy works? He'll work on even a believer. He'll say there's just too much rubbish.
Yeah.
It's too hard. We just can't do it, preacher. It just can't be done. If God's ordained it to be done, it'll be done.
Amen.
And we feel, before we criticize Judah too much, we feel that way a lot of times. Oh, it's just too much.
Yes.
I've done some work in construction work, just a little bit, and I've been into a few houses where they was houses that were burnt. The awful smell. The stink, and you can imagine going in there trying to clean that up. And as I thought about this, I thought about Brother Tom Hardy. You imagine going through that mess once, but you imagine trying to go through it again. All the rubbish and the mud and everything else, grow discouraged. I said, well, there's just too much rubbish. Why don't we just quit? Maybe it's not God's will for him to build the wall here anyway. Let's just go somewhere else. Verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of, among them and slay them and cause, here's what their objective is, and cause the work to cease. Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places from whence you shall return unto us, they shall be upon you. Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people, watch this, after their families. God help us to watch for our families. Fight for our families and their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked. God help us to look. Not look to what we can see with our natural eyes, but help us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rest of the rulers and to the rest of the people. You could underline this. You could highlight this. Be not ye afraid of them. My word to you this morning is be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
As I begin to even think about this, I was actually looking. I was going to try to preach on about Jairus. Remember how that Jairus come to our Lord and wanted him to come heal his daughter who was at the point of death, and while he was gone to heal Jairus' daughter, the woman with the issue of blood came. And while he was dealing with the woman with the issue of blood, a servant came from Jairus' house and said, trouble not the master, the daughter's dead. It looks hopeless. There's no use for him to come to the house. And he looked at Jairus. He said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Believe. God help us to do that, as you said. God not help us not just in our head, but in our heart to really, truly believe God. Believe God. Be not afraid of them. What does it say in Romans? If God be for us, who can be against us? Which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard it that it was known to us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, and we returned all of us to the wall. I take it there that they'd kindly been removed away from the work. Now they return to the wall, and watch this, every one unto his work. When God saves an individual, he places them into the body of Christ. They may be just a little toe, they may be just a little finger, but they have a part in his work.
Amen.
And it's a work that only they can do. Everyone to his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear, the shields, and the bows, and halberdians, and all the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear the burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Let me tell you this. If Satan can get you wrapped up with when all you're doing is fighting, all he wants to do is keep you from building. Battling and building. God help us to see this. I know many times if you're just like me, you say, well, what's the use? God who hath believed our report. Does anybody believe this gospel? You preach the gospel and you see people that come for years and hope to find some hope. Maybe God's done something in their heart and then they leave and go somewhere else. That's hard. If you love people, it is.
Amen.
We must battle and build. God's way is still the same. He kills. He makes alive. He wounds, he heals. That's how he works. And he said, verse 19, unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. There's some of you here from California. There's some of you here from other different places. And God has gathered us here today because the work is great and we are separated upon the wall. And there's times we need to come together and be encouraged. This is God's work.
Amen.
God's work.
Amen.
We're all, if we believe this gospel, and God's people do. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
All God's people believe the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
All God's people believe the gospel.
Amen.
That one gospel that honors and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody believes another gospel, he's lost.
Right.
Simple as that. Plain as day. We're separated on the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof you hear the sound of the trumpet? What can that be but none other than the trumpet of God's almighty saving grace, that jubilee trumpet? When that trumpet hit gives a certain sound, if you've ever heard the gospel with spiritual ears, you'll know if you hear it again.
Amen.
You'll know it. Resort thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. The battle's not ours, it's his. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I don't care how mad it makes the enemy. If a man's a true soldier, he's not afraid to fight. If he's a real soldier, you know where he wants to be? He wants to be on the front line. He wants to be exactly where God's glory is being attacked in that day and in that hour. That's where he wants to be. Nothing else just doesn't matter. You see on TV, you see guys, they're getting ready to get on the airplane. They're leaving their mother, their wife, their children. They're leaving all that. And you say, don't they love their family? Yes, they love their family, but they love something more. It's not just being loyalty to a country. It's a principle. We love. We don't love him like we should, but if you're his child, you love him with all your heart and nothing else matters.
Amen.
I'll tell you, God has built his church with the blood of martyrs. You go back and look. they would not bow. They would not surrender. They would not give in. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. God help us to labor. God forgive us for our laziness. Listening to a tape coming up here, Brother Henry Mahan, talking upon these same subject. He said, people say, well, I don't have time to read. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to do all these things. He said, if you're his, he'll say you have time. God help us. God help us. God forgive me. God help us to labor. Labor. Labored in the work, and half of them held the spear from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one of them put them off for washing. Wouldn't even change their clothes except to wash them. Hey, it's just something too great. We live in a day like Nehemiah where there's just so much rubbish. So much rubbish. When God called Paul and sent him to preach the gospel, look at all the rubbish he dealt with. Those Jews had all their traditions. They had their self-righteousness. They had the pride. They had all those things. All that rubbish has got to be removed. Got to be removed. Can you imagine coming into a place like Jerusalem and all this rubbish, this charred wood and all these things, and you begin to start moving it, you're going to stir up some dust. You're going to make some people unhappy. Just like he made Sambalat and Tobiah unhappy. They didn't like it. So here's what Spurgeon said. Now listen, I thought this was good. It blessed my heart. He said, you cannot remove ruins without arousing the owls and the bats, animals of the night. The most rotten rubbish upon earth is sure to find some defenders. They're going to defend what's been there for years. This rubbish had laid there for years, and Sambalat and all of them, they hadn't said anything for years, but here comes Nehemiah, and he's going to stir up some dust, and oh, they're going to get mad about it. People are dead in trespasses and sins, and their traditions, and their religions, and everything else. And you go preaching the gospel, start stirring up some dust, and people's going to try to defend it. This is what Grandpa believed. This is what everybody else believed. You know how it happens? He says, by this rubbish, many gain their wealth. They are full of wrath if any threatens to disturb it. But God helped Paul remove some rubbish. Imagine what it was like when we went to Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, them places where that rubbish had laid there for years. God began to move it. God's going to raise up some walls. God's going to save some people. And everywhere Paul went, people followed him. Followed him. Someone said, oh, that God would employ royal excavators employed by the King of Kings and would get to the work of excavating again the foundation of the walls of Jerusalem and cart away some of the tremendous heaps of rubbish that still lie upon the walls. God help us to be excavators. We're removing this rubbish. I'll leave this to you. You can develop. You could think all day about the kinds of rubbish that we deal with. There's the world and the flesh and the devil. When you try to talk to people, it's hard to get to their human ears. The world has the first word and the last word. It's hard to get even to their heart. Satan erects all these barricades of rubbish. Carnal lust, pride, and unbelief. Like you said, they just will not believe God. We can't build the walls for all the rubbish. People are wedded to their sins. They cling to their idols. But let me tell you this. If we can't build here, there's one who can.
Amen.
There is an arm which is not weary.
Yes.
And can perform all that is needed. God works to build His church. I tell you, God works in His people. You and me both have a lot of rubbish. You say you think it's gone, just wait. You let somebody come against you, say something about you, what do you want to do? That's rubbish.
Yep.
This is a building going on. It's the Spirit's work. We see the blackness of our own nature, the charred wood of our own self-righteousness, our pride and our unbelief. God help our unbelief. God, I wished I could believe God like I should.
Okay.
Oh, Ishmael, he tries to rule over Isaac. You may drive him out of the house, but you'll see him coming around to the window, just peeking in, just laughing at you. And to hay works, that's rubbish. We've got so many old habits, so many traditions, so much unforgiveness and unkindness and all those things that are in our heart, and only God can drive it out. I remember the children of Israel. Bruce made mention last night about the children of Israel getting ready to go over into Canaan. Well, when God finally took them over into Canaan, He drove out all those tribes. He did. They would get so scared they'd go hide in the bushes. And you know what God would do? He'd send hornets to sting them. And they drove them out. When He drove them out, He could kill them. That's like God sending something in your life, some hornet or something to sting you, and when it comes out, God can kill it. God kills and then He makes alive. That's His work.
Amen.
The work of building up the temple of God in us is His work. His work. He began the work. He'll finish the work. He cast out our self-righteousness. And on that same foundation, He raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, the rule. Is our Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Some say, well, you saved by faith, but then you just, by your good works and your good efforts, then you can sanctify yourself and make you a little bit holy. I don't know what fool came up with that. They don't know me. That's just not the case. But those that God saves, has saved, is saving, and will save. He saves them.
Amen.
It's not the preacher's job. He saves them. Spurgeon said, it's the bridegroom's job, not the bride, that makes the bride fit for the husband. And that's pretty good. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it that He may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He may present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing. And one day He'll present her, and she'll be without any of those things.
Amen.
It's His work. He removes the rubbish. I can't. The more I strive, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
By the time, boy, I think I've got unbelief whooped, or I think I've got pride whooped, or something else. Here He raises its old ugly head up again. And we feel just like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. You know what it does? It throws us in the dust. That's where we need to be. Depending on Him. It's His work. You can't pray enough, read enough, do enough. It's His work. If it's your work, why did He need to die? That's one of the biggest rubbishes in our day. They've whittled down the law of God to something that man can do from his outside. Make clean the outside and the cup and the platter. What about the inside? What about the inside? A few words of comfort. The foundation is laid, and in addition, there are rows of precious stones builded upon those walls. The Lord has not yet laid all the stones in the temple. God has been laying stone upon stone without the sound of a hammer. A lot of times you think, what's God doing? He's laying stone upon stone. Stone upon stone. They have been built and the walls are still standing, still rising. Glory be to God, the gospel is a success.
Amen.
It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe, and that's what how he's always done it. We don't need something new. Notwithstanding the sneers of Sanballat, listen, God even uses the wrath of men to praise him, and the remainder of wrath he will restrain. Like I said, God used these people. Listen to me, God used those people to build that wall. The more they fought, the more they wanted to build. The wall was still being built. This is God's great piece of architecture, and he regards it with delight. Then, thus saith the Lord, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. Look what God's done. You know how long it took them to build those walls? 52 days. So that's impossible. That's with possible, impossible with men, it's possible with God.
Yes.
Can you imagine what that enemy thought? What in the world has God done? God gets all the glory. I see the master builder on his wall. He shall not be discouraged. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. But I see with him a band of men whose hearts the Lord has touched. And those labor day and night and cease not till they cease. They will not cease till the walls of Jerusalem are finished. Let me tell you this. God never leaves a work unfinished.
Amen.
There's a lot of Armenian bridges. You ever seen some of them that go halfway across the river and just stop? God never starts a house and just builds it halfway and say, well, I just made a mistake. I run out of money or something. I didn't see that coming. I'll just quit. Every house God builds, starts to build, he finishes it.
Amen.
When God planned salvation before the world began, he finished it.
Amen.
He finished it. He finished it. Here, the building of the church, there's two works, destruction and creation. The removal of the old and the erection of the new. And Sandy was talking before we came over here this morning, as you come up toward our house, there's a fairly nice brick house. The house burnt several years ago, and somebody went in and patched it up. And you could see it, the whole roof had burned off of it, and somebody went in and patched it up, and the whole roof looked like this. Well, about 6 months ago, it burned again. It's worse this time. Now the whole roof's gone, half the walls, and it's just a mess. Religion says just go in there and just patch it up. Just put your little kilts over the wall and cover up the smoke and everything will be fine. No, it's still an old rotten, decaying house. God bulldozes over the old and erects the new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He didn't come to patch up your old man. He come to establish a new man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he don't leave it half finished. He will perfect you. Those he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and every single solitary one will be. As he is. As he is, not that we shall be, as he is, so are we in this world. God's sight, I'm already there. In God's sight, I'm already perfect. The only thing he's got to do is this old man to fall off. That's exactly right. Now, if that ain't encouragement, I don't know what is. The walls were finished in Jerusalem. And he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'll leave with you a couple of things. Make sure that you build upon that foundation.
Amen.
I said, take heed how you build. He's the only foundation. The only foundation. Everything else is just shifting sand. I tell you, I'd hate to have a house down on the coast with that hurricane coming through if it wasn't on a sure foundation. It won't stand. It may stand for a while. You let trouble come. You let heartache come. You let hurricane come. It revealed to that house its true foundation, its true character. Man, say, "Oh, I believe God." Wait a while. Wait a while. Wait a while. Let something come that you weren't expecting. Wait a while. You say you believe God's sovereign. Wait a while. God will prove to you. He already knows. He'll prove to you. And the last question I'll ask you. Are you on that foundation? May God bless His word.
Amen.